So we go to wait. And I thought to myself, okay, where do we start? I've been thinking about this for days. It's been coming, particularly after the watch. We've done the watch as well. We finished there in the book of Revelation with the challenge to the church of Sardis. Wake up. Watch. Twice they're told to watch. Twice the church is told to wake up from lethargy and sleep. So, in our Christian life, we walk, we watch, but there are going to be seasons where we have to learn to what? Wait. I imagine there have been times through the ages where it has been easier for believers to wait than now. I mean, everybody would like to think that the age that they're in is the toughest. I mean, really. And we think that, you know, this is the wickedest the world's ever been. The world has always been wicked. Okay? It's always been wicked. It's cyclic. It's always been wicked. And in these times that we're in, particularly in the age that we're in right now, where everything is instant, fast, fast food, fast deliveries, fast hot 5G. I don't know about you, but I've never seen 5G. Not around here anyway. 5G speeds. And I'm going to tell you something. There is a ton in the Bible about waiting. Waiting on the Lord. There's a ton in the Bible about it. And let's do this. Where should we always start something when we're going to study? Where do I always go? Where should you go when you're studying something for yourself? What is the first thing you do? You go to first mention. Because that sets the precedent for how things are going to be. First mention is an important Bible study, Bible interpretation principle. First mention. Now, wait. I might get you on this one. This is a fun one. Who's the first one to wait in the Bible? Give me some guesses. You can't really be wrong. Come on. Who's the first one to wait in the Bible? Nobody wants to answer because nobody wants to be wrong. Now, let me give you the next clue. The first mention of the first wait isn't where you think it is. Okay? The first mention of the first wait is not where you think it is. We're playing guessing games tonight. Because I want you to think. The first mention of the first wait is obviously going to be in the Old Testament. But the first mention of the first wait is not in the Old Testament, it's in the New. Doing! You ready? Where do you think it is? The first wait's in Genesis, but the first mention of it is not there. Megan has a puzzled look on her face. I've never seen you look that puzzled. She's like, man, smoke's coming out. He's trying to figure it out. You ready? Go to 1 Peter. The first mention of the first wait is in 1 Peter. chapter 3. This one kind of had me stumped too, because I knew there was a first wheat, and I knew it was in Genesis, and I knew it wasn't actually the first mention of wheat in Genesis. And it was driving me crazy, and I finally found it. Start in verse 20. We'll just get a little context with verse 20. To 18. Go to 18. For Christ also hath once... There is nothing more important than that word in that verse right there. Once suffered for sins. The just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God. That's called reconciliation. And he hath given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But we're not there. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And there is no other way to God outside of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no other way to God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We know that. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, remember that Easter that I taught on this. Where did Jesus go for those 3 days? You remember, I taught on this. Where was he? Paradise, but he was also where? We call it paradise, but the word everywhere is Hades. There was no two places prior to Calvary. There was one place in the bowels of the earth that was separated by a great gulf. Paradise on one side, torment on the other, but it was all called Hades. All right? Now, when Christ's body slept in that tomb for 3 days, he wasn't sleeping. He was busy. Christ, remember I said Christ never stopped during his life? He didn't even get a break during the 3 days that his body slept in the tomb. He worked those 3 days as well, doing exactly what he did on this earth. Only guess what he was doing? He was preaching. He was preaching down there to both sides. I believe they both heard, because I believe that it could be heard all over there, because the rich man could talk to Abraham and Abraham could talk to him and they could hear each other. I believe it's different now. It's not the same. I believe when Christ took captivity captive, he took those Old Testament believers up to the third heaven with him, because they couldn't go up there without the blood of Christ on that mercy seat in heaven. And once that mercy seat, once that blood was taken to the mercy seat in heaven, those Old Testament saints whose sins had been covered were taken away, which allowed them into the third heaven, right? And then the rest of the ones in torment stayed in torment. But they heard what he told the other side as well. That doesn't mean they had another opportunity to be saved and there was a whole bunch of people on the torment side that said, I believe now. No. It doesn't work that way. And it says, by which he also went. By which, what do you mean? He went in the spirit. He went in the spirit. His body was in that tomb for 3 days. In the spirit, he went there. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient. Now he's actually talking about a specific group of people.
And who would they be?
They would be the people who perished in the flood. Remember? God sent that flood and the world drowned. And it wasn't 50 or 60,000 people. Mathematicians, biblical mathematicians, have shown that the population was huge during that time. Millions. Millions of people. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God, what? Waited. Who's the first one to wait? God waited. God waited. The long-suffering, you know, God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are always our example. Whose heart was broken first? God's. God's heart. Who waited first? God. God waited first. The first one to wait is our Heavenly Father. And what was He waiting on? He was waiting on an evil generation. The Bible says here, in this passage, that when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. 8 souls. 8 people got on that ark. That was it. Let's go. If you want to put your little marker there, that's all right. But go back to that account in Genesis. Let's look at that wait. I'm waiting on some Amazon stuff right now. And when I ordered it today, I made sure it was going to be delivered tomorrow. And if I could have gotten it today, I would have checked the box, give it to me today. Why? Because I don't want to wait. Human nature does not want to wait. Human nature wants to act immediately most of the time. Here in Genesis chapter 6, here's the wait. Verse 1, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. Now, I had so many debates in Bible college over whether or not this is angels and people or people and people. And I'll be honest with you, angels cannot cohabitate with people. They cannot. The Bible's very explicit about that. They cannot cohabitate with people. All right? And what you use to figure out what the sons of God here are is what? What is king? I have trained you well. Context is king. Right? It is. Context is king. And in the context, back in verse 5, these are the generations of Adam. And Seth lived 100 years. And Methuselah lived 100 years. And the days of Methuselah were. And Lamech lived. And he begat a son. And he called his name Noah. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah. And all the days of Lamech are... And he's talking about what? People. No mention of angels. People, people, people. The generations of Cain, the generations of Seth. People, angels. No, that's not how it works. You can't take another passage and an obscure one at that in another location where it talks about the sons of God and bring it back here and say that angels cohabitated with people and that's where the giants came from. No, that's not where the giants came from. It was genetics. It was longevity. Because angels cannot cohabitate with people. And there are Bible verses that tell us that. Context, it's people. And it came to pass. I don't want to get off on that. What am I doing? Here I am debating in Bible college again. Because there were some nuts that said it was angels. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they choose. Who were the sons of God? The sons of Seth. Who were the daughters of men? The daughters of Cain. The godly and the ungodly. The mixing of the saved and the lost. And as soon as that mixing began, what happened to the godly line of men? They disappeared off the face of the earth, and there was only one left. And who was that guy? Noah. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And this is not talking about lifespan, because people lived way longer than 100 years for a lot longer after this point. What is this talking about? How long is man going to be on the earth from right here at this prophecy? He's only got 120 years left, and the flood is coming. Okay? 120 years, and the flood is coming. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And notice there, my spirit shall not always strive with man. What did God do for 120 years? He strove with man. Repent. Return to me. Come back. Yet the men did not listen to the prophecy and the preaching of Enoch. And they did not listen to the prophecy or the preaching of Noah. That judgment was coming. That they needed to repent. They said the same thing that Jonah said when he walked through the town of Nineveh. Repent! Guaranteed. For 120 years. That's a long wait, isn't it? Let me just read what I got here. Long suffering. It means long endurance. Patience of offense. Patience of offense. In other words, I am patient with your offense. God was offended every second of every minute of every day for that 120 years. Yet he held off. He waited. He tarried in his long suffering. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it broke his heart. What it says right there, don't it? And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And I love that next conjunction. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Think about it.
We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Noah, would we? Would we? We wouldn't.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah.
People again. I don't hear nothing about angels, do you? Back to that again.
These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Violence. We live in a violent world today. The folks in this area, you don't know how good you have it where you live. You don't know how good you have it that you don't live in Detroit or Chicago or New York City or Philadelphia or Baltimore or Los Angeles or Portland or Seattle or some of these cities where life means nothing to people anymore. And they will shoot you if you look at them twice the way they think you're disrespecting them and think nothing of it. I kind of picture that back then as well. Because twice in this passage it says violence. And God said to Noah, verse 13, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. This is the first wait in the Bible. And God waited. He waited 120 years on a civilization, a group of people who had corrupted God's way, went the way of Cain, and ended up a violent, evil society, so much so that a loving God said, I wished I'd have never made him. I wished I'd have never made him. And he could have simply vaporized the earth right there. He says, I'm going to give them 120 years. And Noah preached the whole time. The whole time. I don't know how long it took him to build the ark. Everybody thinks it took him 120 years to build the ark. We don't know if it took him 120. That ark could have been done well before the 120 years. And then Noah just preached on the ramp of that ark for the next who knows how many years. We don't know. We don't know. We know he was preparing it. We know it was 120 years till God brought the flood. But there's nothing in the Bible that says it took Noah 120 years to build it. But we do know that he preached truth the whole time. And God, what? Waited. Long-suffering. And there's another thing that kind of goes along with that long-suffering of God there. And that is the... because if I think about what characterized that wait, what are the things that characterized God's wait? One was the long-suffering, and the other was
mercy. Mercy is not getting something you deserve. For 120 years, God was merciful to a group of people that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. Yet his mercy, what did David say? His mercy endureth forever.
But he warned them, 120 years, time's up. Now, there's another wait by God very close. Where is it? We're close. You're so hot, you got it right there. You're probably only a page away. Where's the next wait? Come on. In it, on it, what are you talking about? Be specific. When's the next wait?
I guess for the water to go down.
Nope. Before that. When's the next wait? You saying it? Ah, who just said that? Yeah. He gets, let me give you the gold star. You know what Mike just said? God waited to shut the door. Remember that? That's the next wait. The next wait. 120 years is up. Noah and his family, turn over the next page. You got a Schofield, you got to do that. It's chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. One man. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. And of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, and the fowls also of the air by seven, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, 7 days, tribulation's going to last 7 years. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was on the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Now look over at verse 16. 7 days later, what happened? And they that went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him. And what? God shut the door. God shut the door. So God gave them 120 years and he waited and he was long-suffering and he was merciful. And then finally, Noah stopped preaching on the ramp of that ark and went inside, and the door stayed open and the ramp stayed down. The door stayed open for 7 more days. For what? For anybody who changed their mind and repented. And repented. But at the end of 7 days, God shut the door. And that was it. The wait was over. But God waited. And in his wait, he showed long suffering and he showed mercy. And that should be an example to us. Because, listen, at the end of the day, what do we so struggle with, brothers and sisters in Christ? What do we so struggle with? Offense. Don't we? We do. We're not struggling to eat. No one in here is struggling to eat. You're not struggling for raiment. You're not struggling for a roof over your head. Nobody in here is struggling for that. None of us. None of us. What is one of our biggest struggles, folks? It is struggling with offense. It is struggling with offense. And the God of long-suffering and mercy is our example for offense. Are you long-suffering? Are you merciful? Or is it, you know what? I'm going to give you just what you give me. Guilty. God has taught us to wait and to be long-suffering and to be merciful. And I think for right here, right now, that should always be with each other. With each other.
Let's pray.